Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and I'm so grateful that we have all come together to share in this time to bring more healing to our minds, when in truth, it's already done, but we seem to experience it here as phases, as gentle phases. So coming together for a few breaths, turning within, being mindfully aware of the breath and how it's our anchor to this moment. It's only ever in the present. So with each breath in and out, we reorient ourselves to the here and now. This holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. With that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. All right. So we are in the Sparkle Edition on page 234. The subheading is Projection versus Extension. In the original edition, I lost my place. It is page 195 in the original edition. This is also called Projection versus Extension. If you're on an e-reader, it's chapter 10, paragraph number 3. And last but not least, the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, page 193. Paragraph 3. It's chapter 11 in the introduction, paragraph number 3. It starts out with you make by projection. Now, we actually read the first two paragraphs of this section last week, but it feels right to just reread them right now. And after I read the third paragraph, that's when we'll pause and start talking. So we're going to do, rather than just recap, it just feels right to do some rereading. Projection versus extension. You have made by projection, but God has created by extension. The cornerstone of God's creation is you, for his thought system is light. Remember the rays that are there unseen. The more you approach the center of his thought system, the clearer the light becomes. The closer you come to the ego's thought system, the darker and more obscure becomes the way. Yet even the little spark in your mind is enough to lighten it. Bring this light fearlessly with you and hold it up to the foundation of the ego's thought system bravely. Be willing to judge it with perfect honesty. Open the dark cornerstone of terror on which it rests and bring it out into the light. There you will see that it rests on meaninglessness and that everything of which you have been afraid was based on nothing. My brother, you are part of God and part of me. When you have at last looked at the ego's foundation without shrinking, you will also have looked upon ours. I come to you from our Father to offer you everything again. Do not refuse it in order to keep a dark cornerstone hidden, for its protection will not save you. I give you the lamp and will go with you. You will not take this journey alone. I will lead you to your true Father who hath need of you, as I have. Will you not answer the call of love with joy? You have learned your need of healing. Would you bring anything else to the sonship, recognizing your need of healing for yourself? For in this lies the beginning of knowledge, the foundation on which God will help you build again the thought system which you share with him. Not one stone you place upon it, but will be blessed by him, for you will be restoring the holy dwelling place of his Son, where he wills his Son to be and where he is. In whatever part of the mind of God's Son you restore this reality, you restore it to yourself. For you dwell in the mind of God with your brother, for God himself did not will to be alone. And there we will pause. So just a quick mention, the first thing that comes up to me is just to clarify that God's Son is all of us. It's not any one of us alone. It's all of us. We make up the sonship. So I just wanted to mention that because we were talking about brothers before we started recording the call. And I wanted to reread these paragraphs just because there's so much in there that I find just so comforting about this reassurance that we're not alone. And I love how it says, I come to you from our Father to offer you everything again. So it's we always have this opportunity in any given moment to accept everything which is already ours. As we talked about on the call last week, one of the things that really stood out to me, one of the things was that idea that Deidre brought up, that the truth is about healing is that there's nothing to heal. It's already done. We just simply have chosen to not accept that. So I'll pause there, and I wanted to see if anything has come up for anybody so far in anything that we just read. Any examples or insights or questions?
Well, it just seems to me that, as we go along, thank God we're not walking this alone.
Right.
Thank God he is with us.
Yeah.
And he says, you will not take this journey alone. I will lead you to your true Father. And
mm-hmm.
really without that, it would be pretty tough.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because the ego is at every turn
mm-hmm. right.
anxious to step in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the closer we get to this realization of the truth,
mm-hmm.
that everything is fine just exactly as it is,
mm-hmm.
the more resistance the ego has to this.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's that lamp.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I give you the lamp and will go with you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm. right.
Thank God.
I agree.
And I think our part is to just take that little bit of time, that little bit of willingness, to let him light the way.
Yeah. This is relevant to what I shared a little bit before we started recording the call, and I was talking about how just last week the call was so powerful for me because I was hearing so much of the Holy Spirit speaking through everybody, and as the one example that comes to mind now was what I already mentioned about what Deidre shared about how, the truth about healing is that there's already nothing to heal. And that really just, it was, whatever it was about the timing, obviously I've heard that many times before and, read it many times before in the course, and I started rereading a part of the course that's talking about that again, and I had an experience. I was sitting on my back porch, and I have recommitted myself to getting quiet every day, to listening, because that's an important step in this as well, is that, and I've said this before, if we're constantly asking, help, 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 give me the miracle, and we don't shush and listen,
mm-hmm.
we are not leaving a space for God to take that step in, for, the Holy Spirit to do its thing. It's this open space. In the course it says, forget this world, forget this course, and come with holy empty hands unto your God. So it's not even about, it's even saying let go of the course. So with what we just read about, and what Paula, what you were just reflecting about, how it's so reassuring that we're not alone, I was sitting on my back porch, and in this experience of sitting quietly, of meditation, and really being very still and very open and just really coming with holy empty hands unto spirit and just being there, of course the peace was intense. You know, it was a really, really good feeling. But then I got a little like, all right then, so show me. You know, you've said that you're here with us. You said that we're not alone. And yeah, the peace is great, but show me. You know, I want to see something more. I want something tangible, a sign that you are with me and that I am not alone. And I was sitting there in quiet, and I don't even know if it was 30 seconds or a minute or 2 minutes later, I got this image flashed through my mind of a branch falling in my yard. And not even 2 to 3 seconds later, I heard crack, like this lightning bolt, you know, when trees break, it's like usually pretty loud. I heard this crack and, you know, you hear it like falling through the trees. And I just started like, you know, got this big smile on my face, and I know it like, it was really like, wow, thanks. Like, that was pretty cool.
I needed that.
yeah, that I had that, you know, that image come to mind, and then moments later it actually, you know, showed up out there. And so that just was, you know, it was just really reassuring that this, the Course means what it says. And if we don't hear the message, if we don't hear the miracle, if we don't feel the miracle or even sense the presence of love with us, it's not because it's not there. It's just that we still have a lot of blocks in our way to receiving it, even though we might think we want it really bad, you know? So it's this very gentle, gradual undoing that we work and work and work. And then I can remember, Paula, you sharing an example about a very spontaneous sort of miracle that just happened. So it's like we work our way into meeting the conditions of peace. And when we get there, you know, we notice it then, but then that also has a ripple effect for times when maybe we're not in that mindset. And Jesus talks about in the Course how when we fall, like when we, you know, skip a beat and sort of lose our way, he's there to help us to, you know, to pick us back up, because that's, you know, because that's what he's there for, as our, you know, elder sibling. So I just I wasn't even planning on sharing that initially, but then it just felt like it was right.
Well, what you just shared.
Go
ahead, Paul.
No, go.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, what you just shared, I'm so happy that you shared that, because the vision that you saw before the branch fell, that's a clairvoyant experience. And so I've shared many times on the calls that everybody has intuitive abilities, they just don't know that they have them. And you just shared an experience that is an intuitive experience, a psychic experience. And these gifts are endowed to us by God, our creator, and it's the most natural form of communication there is, and yet most of the world, as
That's
we know it, is afraid of it.
But what she said is she was still. She was. Yeah. You know, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's the most natural thing in the world. But
yep.
I don't know about anybody else. When I'm in my head, I don't see it. I don't hear it.
Right.
I'm just in my head, and I'm on a roll. And when I get quiet, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, it comes in stillness. That's how it comes. And
yeah.
Actually, I don't know if anybody watches Super Soul Sunday, but there was a great episode this week about meditation and stillness. And Russell Simmons was being interviewed, and it was all about meditation and stillness. It was an awesome episode. I highly recommend people go and watch it. It's still online.
Awesome.
And he's introduced a new book, which I plan on reading. But anyways, one of the most profound things that he said during the interview that he had with Oprah was that the root cause of all human suffering is the desire that we have for anything to be different than it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that for him, what has changed his whole life is meditation, and that getting still, Corinne, like you were just talking about, has changed his whole. He said, there are two things that I have to do every day. One is meditation and the other is yoga. And everything else in my life, I rearrange around those two priorities. He says, if I have a meeting that's going to run over, but it's going to interrupt with my meditation and yoga, it has to wait till the next day, because my priority is my meditation and my yoga. And it doesn't matter where I am in the world, I need that time to get still. And he said, that's where all my blessings come from, because I have that willingness to get still. So it's pretty awesome. Powerful. I really recommend it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'll definitely check that out.
This is Yogi.
Hi, Yogi.
And as someone who teaches mindfulness and Vipassana meditation or stillness meditation and yoga, yeah, thank you for sharing that, Deirdre, because, yeah, my entire day is like that. Nothing else gets done, and everything gets structured around, and I have several periods throughout my day, so it doesn't matter whether I'm traveling or what I'm doing. And with the course, what I found is it's great. When I've gone to, less so this group, but when I've gone to other groups, one of the things that I've noticed is there's a lot of intellectualizing on the material. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit told me from the very beginning, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. And it's in the stillness when I read the passage. And when I'm reading a passage or a stanza or a sentence, I can feel the energy, the stillness of God moving through my cells. Mm-hmm. So I never, the course for me, that's how I work with the course. Mm-hmm. And in stillness. And if I don't like something or I get a button pushed because I've read a sentence or something, it's because I wasn't still. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much for sharing that, Deirdre, and thank you very much for sharing that. Corinne, yeah, I really appreciated hearing that, yeah. Because,
yeah.
You know, one of the things, I've been a clairvoyant all my life, coming from a family of, you know, in the Caribbean with women who are like that. But I find reading the course, I'm much more intuitive when I read as a result of reading the course.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, in my work as an intuitive, if I don't take that time to get still, because that's what being intuitive is. It's getting still. That's how you receive messages. That's the crux of the whole thing. And if I don't take time every day to get still, my signal isn't as clear.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
It's like you're polishing your antenna by getting still.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And just to bring this back too to what I know Paula, you mentioned about how the ego is anxious to get back in there, because as we get still and as we feel, you know, that energy of God everywhere, that's undoing the ego. It's weakening the ego because we're not feeding life into the ego. We're not, you know, fueling it with the judgment or the anger or the, you know, whatever it may be. And so it'll still look for any, you know, little corner, little crevice that it possibly can to still get back in there. And I'll just share, because this is pretty funny, that a few days after that experience, I won't even get into details, but I ended up thinking that there might be asbestos in our house. And it was like this, it turned into this like massive obsession, and just for a short amount of time, like a couple hours. But again, know better at this point in time to, you know, I know my pattern. I know my ego, and I know that there is really probably no asbestos where I thought there was. And so going back and again working, getting still again, even though the ego is screaming like, but what if you shouldn't be in your house right now? You know, like in all these just insane thoughts, going back and still working this. And I actually reread the whole section that I had read when I had that experience outside with the branch falling down. And it just brought me back to this same place of handing everything, of knowing that this is all done already. This is we're actually dreaming right now. And when we have these, you know, experiences that are profound for us, it's like our eyes are fluttering open, or even just, you know, opening for a moment. And so in doing that, it just sort of defueled my ego again, and like everything's back to how it usually is. And if we end up ripping up part of our floor that might have asbestos in it, yeah, we'll get it checked out then. But I'm not going to worry about it right now. So,
Corinne,
yeah,
the asbestos is not the problem.
It's not. No, see, and that's exactly
this is the thing. It's your thoughts alone that cause you pain.
Absolutely.
This is the hardest. You know, I can speak these words, but believing them on that deep level is the challenge, because the world is so convincing. Mm-hmm. What it tells you about asbestos
is so
freaking convincing.
Right?
And it's not about the asbestos. Nothing.
Yeah,
it's not.
Nothing. There is no chemical that can hurt us. There is nothing that can hurt us or cause us pain.
That's
our thoughts about it. Listen, I'm telling you, I've been writing a lot because I've been challenged a lot. And can I just read this one thing to you?
Mm-hmm.
This came to me. The separation is the only problem you have. Mm-hmm. Be patient. It took a long time to learn this upside down thinking. Unravel it with the Holy Spirit. This sounds like the solution, I wrote underneath. This sounds like the solution. And, in fact, it is the solution if you let it be the solution.
Mm.
But the ego, I went through this whole thing in my experience this morning, and I knew, just like you said, Corinne, this is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lie. There's no truth in this neurotic thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down and started writing, and I really felt that lamp, that light. I felt his presence, and I felt the truth come through me. And it wasn't 5 minutes later that it started up again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got that was so wonderful, because what it showed me once again, and I'll probably have to relearn this a billion times, but once again, are you going to choose to listen to it,
mm-hmm.
or are you going to listen to what God would be saying? And
yeah,
I was
beautiful.
Able to just snap right out of it, and really, I had a lovely day.
Oh.
But this is an ongoing unraveling for me.
And that's what you do when the ego rears its ugly head again, when it throws, you know, a really tempting pattern or a really tempting situation in your path that you want to freak out about and worry about. And, you know, it's never about whatever that issue is. It's just simply another, you know, it's part of our split mind calling forth a witness that this is real, you know, that we pulled this off, that this dream is actually really happening, that there are threats out there that can hurt us. And Paula, I love what you wrote down. I only was able to jot down the first few lines of what you said, with the separation is the only problem you have. And that's it. We think that we're separate from God, and we are not. It's a big hoax. The world is a big hoax.
I have been finding in the last couple of months, though, that I keep having to relearn this lesson, but the answer keeps coming quicker. You know,
mm-hmm.
like I'm pulled out of it quicker, mm-hmm. and I'm understanding it faster. But I just feel like the ego will resist this into infinity,
mm-hmm.
and I have to let it go into infinity, and I'll be damned, I'm willing to do it, and I'm not doing it alone, and none of us are doing it alone.
Nope.
Yeah, Paula, I'm glad you said that, because we're going to get there, but to be alone is to be separated from infinity, but how can this be if infinity has no end?
Yeah.
And one of the things that's, you and Deirdre, that's what I'm finding is that there'll be moments of peace, there'll be moments I'll be in heaven, and just a thought or just a sensation, not even, or a twilight of a thought, that's what it is with me, it's not even a thought, sometimes it's a sensation in my body, or it's a twilight of a thought, and it came to me that where it's a collective thing, a lot of us are waking up right now, or a lot of us are being recognizing whether we're using the Course or whether we're using whatever. And so we don't awake in isolation, and so the more of the sonship that awakens, the easier it's going to be for us to awake collectively.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That critical mass.
To hold on to those moments, because I get frustrated. You know, I get frustrated where I feel these incredible moments of peace, but then it feels scary being so peaceful and happy. You know,
doesn't
like,
feel familiar.
Like, no. This is my true nature. This is who I am.
But this is also an undoing, and we learn this nonsense over time, and we're gonna unlearn it with
yep.
him.
Yeah, we're.
And it doesn't
it's
have
a little unraveling on the atonement. I really feel everything. It's not about what we need to learn. It's a whole bunch of undoing. And it's
yeah.
happening globally. It's not just with us. It's happening collectively
yeah.
to those who want it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Ah. Well, how about we read another paragraph? To be alone is to be separated from infinity. This is what you just said.
Yeah.
To be alone is to be separated from infinity, but how can this be if infinity has no end? No one can be beyond the limitless, because what has no limits must be everywhere. There are no beginnings and no endings in God, whose universe is himself. Can you exclude yourself from the universe or from God, who is the universe? I and my Father are one with you, for you are part of us. Do you really believe that part of God can be missing or lost to him? I feel moved to read the next paragraph as well. If you were not part of God, his will would not be unified. Is this conceivable? Can part of his mind contain nothing? If your place in his mind cannot be filled by anyone except you, and your filling it was your creation, without you, there would be an empty place in God's mind. Extension cannot be blocked, and it has no voids. It continues forever, however much it is denied. Your denial of its reality arrests it in time, but not in eternity. That is why your creations have not ceased to be extended, and why so much is waiting for your return. And we'll pause there. So again, this speaks to how nothing has changed. Nothing, we haven't done anything by thinking that we're separate from God. God is everywhere and is whole, and as it says, our denial of God, of, what is it saying, extension, arrests it in time but not in eternity. So it's, again, this whole idea that we simply have to accept that everything is perfect exactly in the here and now. At least that's just one way of thinking about it that we've already mentioned. What comes up for you in these two paragraphs?
These are very, very powerful. The first one, the first sentence, to be alone is to be separated from infinity. And I'd love to hear what other people have to say about that. To be alone is to be separated from infinity. But how can this be if infinity has no end?
I have something to say, but I'm not going to say.
Somehow guilt comes into my mind with all of this.
Yeah, Dirk, because I think just to add to what you're saying, Paula, if I may, guilt is separation.
Right.
And as the Course says, guilt is always insane. So separation is always insane also, because we can't be separate from what is infinite.
Right, but we attempt that with our judgments. I have a friend who I no longer consider a friend and have been wrestling with the fact that she keeps trying to contact me. And, you know, this is like a bad habit here. And I just thought to myself, this is not about her. And you really have to take a look at this. And what has occurred to me is that when I attack her in my mind, I see myself as a target. This is a little tough. Because when I'm attacking her in my mind, I can't stand the thought of being with her, because on some level, I feel like I have to run away from her, because I'm only attacking myself. There's only one of us here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is hard. Now, let me just see if I can get this out. Because I think this is what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a target. So when I'm with her, because of the guilt I feel, because I judge her, I feel guilty. Because now I've separated from her. Separated from myself, separated from God. And I just want to run. I just want to run. And this is any situation that causes the separation, anything.
Yeah. Oh, you're doing good.
Because when you judge them, you separate from God. This separation is the only problem you have. Be patient. It took a long time to learn this upside-down thinking. Unravel it with the Holy Spirit, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm really trying to unravel it with the Holy Spirit. It is the solution. It's truly the solution. The Holy Spirit is the only answer out of this craziness. But these are just bad old habits. I didn't explain this well.
Oh, you did. But you did, Paula. You did.
Okay.
You
okay.
Did.
Yeah.
Do you get it? Do you understand what I'm saying here?
I totally understand you. Yeah, because I've been estranged from my parents for over 25 years. And it's the Course coming back. It's really studying the Course and realizing, as the Holy Spirit said, and it was for really heinous things that were done to me. I grew up in the Caribbean and on and on and on. And it took many years to really get to the point where I got to. But when I came back to the Course, it said, let me perceive forgiveness as it is. And then the Holy Spirit showed me that there's only one problem I have, and that is separation.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying does make sense to me. And so it's just been profound. I I can't go into all the details, but it's just been pretty profound. You know, how can you be separated from your parents for that length of time and just start starting the course after 5 weeks and then realize that the illusion and you're creating it in your mind?
It's all just nuts. That's all.
We cannot separate
from God. We cannot do it.
Yeah, because to be separated from your friend or me from my parents, it means that I'm separating myself. I'm cutting myself off. I'm punishing myself, which I did for
you.
Hurting my heart, my liver, my lungs, every part
absolutely.
Of me. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the solution is we are not guilty. She is not guilty.
Yeah.
I am not. Nobody is
not guilty.
Guilty of
yeah.
anything. Your parents are as pure and holy.
Yes, that's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Your father is innocent. Your mother is innocent.
Innocent.
And I got it. I got it.
Wow.
I got it.
Why does this seem so... so hard, though. I mean, I'm learning it in dribs and drabs. That's all I can say. I'm doing the best I can over here.
Yeah, so I wrote like a 30-page, I had my assistant, I dictated a 30-page letter to each of my parents that we're going to be editing and putting in the mail now, like immediately.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
Yeah, it's like, stop this
beautiful.
Now, Yogi.
Wow.
Yeah, right now.
Right now, stop it now. And that's because the course is the most amazing. I mean, I've studied every system there is, you know, but the course does correct vision and it does heal perception.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing.
It is amazing. It's the most, it's like a celestial speed up. It is a celestial speed up. That's what
it
the
is.
Course says.
Yeah. Wow. Yogi, thank you for sharing such a profound teaching.
Well, you guys have been amazing for me. I mean, last week I wasn't here because I was doing some pretty deep inner child work with some Course in Miracles people, and it was just what I needed, and I thought, well, I'm going to come on the line tonight, but you guys have been really great, Corinne. You just really have, you're there. You're just there for us, you know, and Paula and Deidre and everybody else. Tony, I don't know if Tony's on the line tonight, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're all working it.
Yeah.
We're all dedicated. And just to add, too, to what's already been said, to go back to that line, Yogi, to be alone is to be separated from infinity, but how can this be if infinity has no end? The thing that came forward for me immediately was, you know, we can't be alone. That, you know, if we think we are alone, we're dreaming. That's
it's an illusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, wow. Let's read another paragraph. Waiting is possible only in time, but time has no meaning. You who may delay can leave time behind simply by recognizing that neither beginnings nor endings were created by the Eternal, who placed no limits on his creation, nor upon those who create like him. You do not know this simply because you have tried to limit what he created, and so you believe that all creation is limited. How then could you know your creations, having denied infinity? The laws of the universe do not permit contradiction. What holds for God holds for you. If you believe you are absent from God, you will believe that he is absent from you.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Isn't it? Just even that one sentence, that small little sentence, what holds for God holds for you.
What that makes me think of something that Lisa said during the Course in Miracles retreat that I went on, and she was talking about we were having a discussion about how much the ego gets involved in wanting to change things and wanting to be involved in the details of you know, making things happen, etc. And she was talking about how, much like you were saying, Corinne, how the Course teaches that everything's already happened, everything's already been done. So if something is meant to be yours on a spiritual level, on God's terms, there's nothing on the worldly plane that could ever interfere with something coming to you. And that has been such a huge thing for me right now, just remembering that and incorporating that in my life as I'm looking for a new place to quote-unquote live on in the world of form. If it's meant to be my quote-unquote home that I'm living in while I'm in a body, there's nothing that will interfere. So I don't need to worry about the appearance of homes that don't come to me because they were never meant to be mine in the first place. Does that make sense?
You need do nothing. It makes
perfect
sense.
And his vision for you was better than what you could ever even imagine.
Exactly. And that applies to everything, whether it be like career path or a relationship with a significant other or, you know, a health condition. Everything. So I'm just really learning, because for most of my life, I was like, you have to hold on to everything for dear life.
Oh, yeah.
You have
to absolutely.
Hold on to it and make it yours and this, that, and the other. And now I'm just like, nope, I'm just letting go. If I wasn't in that place, I don't think that I would have received the intuitive no that I did this morning about a potential rental. So if I wasn't in that place of being willing to trust, I'd be in the anxiety-ridden state of needing to hang on to everything. And
well, that's that word trust.
Yeah.
That is so big.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Trust would settle all things now.
And just the idea, like, she's absolutely right. Everything is already done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the house that you quote-unquote want, the relationship that you are seeking, whatever it is, it's already been decided. So there's nothing that you need to do to go out and quote-unquote get it.
That's wonderful.
Everything.
Oh God,
is.
You know, that is the nicest thing to hear. I mean, I know that on some level, but hearing that from you, Deidre, it's just delightful. The world doesn't teach that.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches us the opposite of that. I'll give you one little example of that in my life. When my other Burman died, I loved that cat, but you know, I just knew damn well I needed more than one cat because I'm not here very well. You know, I'm in and out so much, and the animals, they need companionship. And I got in touch with a breeder, and I said, you know, I want these specific cats. And he said, well, you know, it'll take a while to get them because I'm in the process of breeding this type. And I got off the phone with him, and I started getting really fearful. Oh, I've never owned two cats before. Oh God, I'm gonna have to call him and just cancel this. I don't think I want to take this on. I couldn't pick that phone up. This was over a period of months, and he finally called me and he said, "All right, they're born now, and you can have them in about 4 weeks." I'm telling you, they turned out to be the most delightful little creatures.
Mm-hmm.
They have made my life so happy. I can't even explain how they're just lovely little little sweethearts or little angels. But I was so frightened of taking this on, and I could not pick that phone up and say, no, I don't want them. I couldn't do it. And I know that was Holy Spirit. Just
yeah, and you listened. And you
there's
listened.
Nothing, there's really nothing to fear.
There really isn't.
And when there is, you're guided away from that.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not right, you'll be guided away from it. Oh my God, I do. You're so
Thank
good
you
at this, Deidre.
Thank you for sharing that, because I'm picking up. I went through years of the same issue with adopting, because I'm sort of like a cat and a bird person. And when I got divorced, everyone knew I needed a dog, but I just kept putting it off for years now. And finally, after forgiving my parents, I just had the courage to call a breeder, a Shih Tzu breeder. I could never find the right Shih Tzu breeder. It was every time I went online or I could never find it. And then this week, the perfect person came up. I went to meet my little puppy Shih Tzu, and he is the calmest, most amazing,
Aww.
Delightful,
oh my
playful
God.
Being.
Yeah.
And I go to see him up on Wednesday, but I'm having jitters.
No, it's going to be fine. He's meant to be yours.
Yeah, so I have to call the breeder when I hang up from the class, and I'm just so glad you shared that, Paula, because that's what it is. The ego gets in there.
Oh, it gets in there.
You shouldn't be doing this, or blah, 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 blah. And then I'm going to go back again and just, you know, I thought, no. So thank you for sharing that, Paula.
Well, I guess that was meant to be.
Awesome. You know, I just wanted to share one more thing that stands out to me about this paragraph that we just read, where it says that neither beginnings nor endings were created by the Eternal, who placed no limits on his creation, nor upon those who create like him. That particular part of the sentence, neither beginnings nor endings were created by the Eternal. I think I shared with you all previously some time ago on calls that I used to always have this just like profound thought and feeling that it's just weird to be born and it's just weird to die. Like there's just something so weird about both of those things. It just doesn't seem right. And I can remember, you know, I don't know if it was this exact line or something similar, but the Course speaking to this, neither beginnings nor endings were created by the Eternal. That's just so juicy. It's just so awesome. I just love it. Okay, next paragraph. Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody going to
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Infinity is meaningless without you, and you are meaningless without God. There is no end to God and his Son, for we are the universe. God is not incomplete, and he is not childless. Because he did not will to be alone, he created a son like himself. Do not deny him his son. For your unwillingness to accept his fatherhood has denied you yours. See his creations as his son, for yours were created in honor of him. The universe of love does not stop because you do not see it, and your closed eyes have not lost the ability to see. Look upon the glory of his creation, and you will learn what God has kept for you. So by our acknowledgement of God as our creator, that helps us claim who it is that we really are. And we are able to then, as we go down this path of learning that more and more and more, that we are exactly as God created us, we come to know that we have just continued to, you know, remain unchanged and have continued to extend that love, our creations, as the Course calls it. Should we go for one more paragraph? Let's do it. God had given you a place in his mind, which is yours forever. Yet you could keep it only by giving it, as it was given you. Could you be alone there if it was given you because God did not will to be alone? God's mind cannot be lessened. It can only be increased, and everything he creates has the function of creating. Love does not limit, and what it creates is not limited. To give without limit is God's will for you, because only this can bring you the joy which is his and which he wills to share with you. Your love is as boundless as his because it is his.
That's why we can never mess anything up.
Yay!
That's one of the biggest ego things that there is, that we're doing it wrong or that we're going to mess it up or, you know, all of that stuff. And that, what you just read, is why we can never get it messed up.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that, Deidre. That is perfect. You're absolutely spot on. Awesome. I think that's perfect. I think that's the perfect place to end.
Oh my God, it's that time already.
Yeah. Time flies when it's not real.
That's awesome.
Oh my God.
Corinne, I just wanted to mention to you really quickly, because you were talking about everything being healed already at the beginning of the call, and there's an amazing video that Nuke Sanchez posted on Facebook earlier this week.
Ooh, I think I know what you're talking about, and I haven't watched it yet. But
yeah,
I wanted
watch
to. Can
it.
You tell us about it?
It's an alternative non-medical hospital in China. And what they do is they treat people with various different ailments going on within the body. And they do these chants, and they work with the patient as well. And the patient believes in the treatment, as do the practitioners. And they're basically holding the space in their heart and their mind, opening up the heart chakra, and holding space for the patient that they are already perfectly healed. And they actually showed in a video this woman who had bladder cancer, I believe is what they called it. And as they're chanting for this woman, her tumors literally disappear. You can watch them.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So where's the video? Is it on Nuke's Facebook?
I know she posted it in several groups. I posted it on my Facebook page because I was just blown away by it. And I know she posted it in the...
Is it on her website?
I don't know. I didn't go to her website.
You know what I'll do? I'll post the link when we get off the call. I'll post the link to the video on the Miracle Share.
Yeah.
So we can get it from there.
Find it.
Yeah, it's really worth a watch, everybody.
Awesome.
Great.
Thank you. Yay. I love you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I love you too.
Have a good
love
night.
You all. Good
Have
night.
A great week.
Good night.
See you next week. Bye-bye.